So very welcome everyone to this afternoon's talk, a very warm welcome. So I have the pleasure to, I don't know the English word, bestäuben, haben wir jemanden, does somebody, can somebody translate bestäuben? A bee is kind of putting something on the next flower, so that the flower...
Pollinating.
Yeah, like in German, bestäuben, it always feels to me like putting like little dust on it, but nice dust, special dust on the flower. The pollinating. Pollinating. So I have the pleasure to pollinate you with love. Because this talk is about love, my favorite subject. Somehow I feel like it's impossible to get tired of it, talking about love. And basically not talking about love, like sharing love. Like sharing and experiencing love. And I feel like in a way, like spiritual life is about sharing and experiencing and expressing love. And that inclinates already that it's in life. It's about living from mind to living from heart, as heart, in the heart, with mind, not without mind. With mind as a tool instead of the master. So most people are walking heads, full of ideas, concepts, following them in life. And the invitation is to come into the heart and live from the heart in an intelligent, all-embracing way, which also includes the mind. And everything I'm saying right now, I also would like to invite you not to try to figure out what I'm saying, because it can go only wrong. So compared to the last talk where I tried to give a little bit of tools, like a toolbox, yeah, which we can take when we are struggling. This talk is about surrendering to love. Kind of the opposite side. And ultimately both sides have to come together for liberation. And I will try to point out in this talk, I don't know if it will function, this in-between side also. This third thing, which is not talkable, and which you are invited to find inside yourself. Maybe somebody knows already what I'm talking about, and just a reminder. Does somebody have a feeling already what I'm talking about? You're welcome to lift your hand. Ah, so I have to go on talking. Yeah, it feels always a bit strange for me to talk about love when it's basically something that wants to be expressed and lived and shared, instead of talked about. It's especially because it's not able to be catched from the mind. Like Sasha said yesterday, this quote from Krishnamurti, that love cannot be practiced and love cannot be cultivated. The love we are trying to cultivate is still within the realm of the mind. So that's what I'm saying right now. I'm not talking about this idea of love we have, but something's much more deep, which is already there. So metta meditation is just a tool to contact to contact that love which is already there through the mind. So we may have many, many ideas and concepts about what love is, and in our spiritual life we are invited to use them as a tool to contact that what I'm speaking about, which I call love, real love. And on the same time, to see through our concepts of what love is and drop them more and more. For me, one concept was love is that my boyfriend does what I want from him. So this is like one of the most stupid ones. If he would love me, he would do what I want. So that love that I'm talking about is very much empowering and very, very nourishing, very, very healing, very, very much possible to give, meaning to life. Basically, even much more, it is, for me, it is the meaning of life. To be in contact with that and to live from there as that, having all the actions coming from there rather than from my conditioned mind, and discovering where do I still function from mind and telling myself no, that's from love, and what does really, really come from that love that allows everything to be the way it is. And on the same time, I can move in that, I can be creative in that, I can change things. So it doesn't contradict each other. And that's absolutely wonderful. And I feel to have at least a taste of that love is very, very helpful on the spiritual path. And any love that we feel in the heart or for us or for others is connected to that love. So that's why it's possible by metta meditation, for example metta meditation, or by selfless service, which is also based on that love, to connect that love in its finest form, to get to know that love, to realize that love. It's not something that needs to be made, it's there already, waiting for us to be discovered. And just speaking about it can remind us because it's already in us. And there may even be something for you in your heart that's representing that love. For me, it was always Christ, for example. Christ. But it can be something else, eh? Or anybody else. For me, always he was the embodiment of that. Just making it visible in a person. But in fact, it's everywhere, all the time, contactable, knowable. And it's possible for us to live from there. And it's very, very close to that place that Gemma was pointing out when she said you don't need to clear out all your shit before you can live from there. Just allowing things to be like they are and to move from there, the next step. And being okay with the way the world is, the situation is right now. But kind of on top of it, fighting with it. Giving up the fight. And then it already becomes like the view becomes much more wide. The possibilities that are there to be done, like they become much more obvious. Mind tells us a concept, no, it has to be like this and only like this. That's the way. And if we open to that, so many possibilities open up. Like this, like this, like this, like this. Does it really matter if it's not like that? Do I really need it like that? What will happen? Like, it is like, you don't even need to do that, but like when we go even deeper, it becomes very obvious and we just move. Move from the heart to what feels right for us. And from that place, we can really use the mind as a tool proper. And by connecting that place, we are already in a healing spot for ourselves and for others. It's totally like übergreifend, taking over. So the separation between me and others is becoming more and more thin and then goes completely. And on the same time, you're not stupid, you're not the other. It is more inclusive way of seeing. Like from including way of seeing things and the world, happenings. And there is an incredible softness in that. And when we fall in that, when we come closer to that, our own healing starts. And the healing of the world, that's a fantastic thing. And on the same time, it's like very, like, because there is a clarity, it's a very, very practical thing also. It's not spaced out in love, or floating around. There is a very deep and strong connection to all things, being able to see them as they are. It's an open, soft, loving heart. Just not pushing away. And even so, pushing away can happen within that, and it's totally okay. But the place from where it comes feels so completely different. So to say no in that space is just a yes to something else. To something that feels more real, more authentic, more right, more true from the heart. So it's totally okay to say no. Can you feel the difference? Rona smiles. Yeah, it's not a hard no, it's a very soft no. So thank you and no. And the other person may be hurt in the beginning because they are not getting fulfilled their wishes and what they think they need, but they will be able to feel the love underneath. The love which that person who says no in that moment has to their truth, and in inviting the other person to live their truth as well. And I have found magically that when I'm living from there, that it kind of takes over to the friends, the community, the people I spend time with. And there are not so many, like, I want this, I want that, no, that's right, that's wrong. Not so many kind of places where it can kind of do like that. I don't have an English word right now.
Friction,
yes. I mean, it doesn't mean that there is not at all anymore. There can be, and it's healthy to look at different viewpoints and feelings and needs. But magically it starts to flow much more softly. And because it's okay to say no, we can relax with expressing what is important for us, what is real for us. Can we say that? Can we want that? It becomes okay to say whatever we feel. To express, if we express it from that place. It's possible to say everything from that place. And the way it comes out has a different feeling tone to it. And because it comes from a different place, or the way we express ourselves, is not only changed, I would say even transformed. In the moment, we don't need to do a course, study course, on how to say things. But I'm not saying don't do it, can be very helpful. Very helpful to move in that direction, become more and more soft. And this softness also needs to include the clarity of mind. Otherwise, it becomes just a stupid saying yes to everything. So So it's not about just being in the heart, feeling the heart, being totally open. There is also a clarity, a quality of clarity in it. Clarity on what you really want and what needs to be done and what is good to be done. And I feel we all know that place. It's not something completely new or totally beyond of what we know. We all have that moments where that opens, or where it was open in the past. We can remember. It's our natural way of being and living from. So nothing that needs to be cultivated. More like rediscovered and given space to, reconnected or reconnecting by being remembered. And there are all kind of techniques on the spiritual path how we can make our defensive mechanisms to connect that space again less, so that it's more easy. That's what all these techniques are about. And it can be helpful to do these techniques, and it can be helpful to just be in the heart, cultivating the heart, this overtaking ability of love. By what I said, service or metta. And there are for sure others. So I call it love because for me, just by diving into that space, which has many, many qualities, somehow love is the most profound, most dominating. And to me it feels that it includes all the other qualities, like depth, like clarity, like light, like beauty, like openness, like infinite openness, without end, consciousness, space, infinite space. And somebody who goes more this way of inquiry may find it is nothingness and just call it nothingness. But it's the most beautiful nothingness or emptiness I can imagine. So emptiness and the love I'm speaking about is the same thing. But if you have a concept of love, then of course it sounds strange. So that emptiness is not empty at all. It's ooh. And I want to invite you again not to think about it, because it cannot be found by mind, by thinking about it. Yes, by inquiry, but not by thinking about it. So just relax, don't try to find out what is emptiness. And I'm saying this just as a pointer, or to point out this kind of mistakes that are made on the path, these traps of trying to figure out the spiritual path. So I'm saying it so that you can come over it as soon as possible, coming to real inquiry and real meditation, real connecting the heart. Just trying to figure out, some minds really need it. Until they haven't tried any possibility by mind, they're not going to stop. So if nothing works, then maybe I surrender my mind. But first I bang it 10 times more against the wall. So it's just one trap I'm pointing out. And in the end, vipassana, the way of inquiry, and cultivating this silence of the heart, which is also this love of the heart, they have to come together so that mind and heart work together. So inquiry without the heart will not bring you all the way. And cultivating only the heart will also not bring you all the way. So then what to do? And I'm back saying the same like last time in the talk, going with what you feel is right for you. And sooner or later on the path it will bring these two things together. Samatha and vipassana, inquiry and calm abiding of the heart. So when we come closer to that place, I don't know if you have, I think everybody has felt it. This feeling of wanting to give, of being generous, of caring for something or somebody else, of simply just being good, doing what feels good for me and for others, very naturally comes. I just have to think of Amma again, who said, where there is love, there is no effort. Somebody asked her, oh my God, how are you doing all these things? She said, where there is love, there is no effort. So doing just flows. And we know that. What we love to do, we do so effortless. It happens by itself, or sometimes it feels even less if we are, have a huge amount of support in like energy for doing. It goes like, done, wow, it was so much fun. And this space here, this retreat space, is inviting you to let yourself be nourished by that love. And I'm not sure if you have noticed, I have noticed yesterday night after the chanting, there was a really strong, wonderful, powerful healing space here in the hall. So if your system has been like into dealing with something, going through, you may have not noticed. It was really, really strong. So just allow yourself to drop into that, to slip into that. And if you don't have a feeling at all for it, just know that it's there. It's there. Very clearly, very strong. So it has these two sides. It has this healing power for us. And on the same time, the ability to pull us deeper into what it is. And by just opening up and letting that happen, you're pulled deeper into it. And it doesn't mean that there may not be difficult times. When we are pulled deeper, naturally difficult times come, and it's a good sign. But it has this ability to pull us deeper to realize that love I'm speaking about. Somebody else would call nothingness. Or the infinite, or the undescribable, or the ultimate, or whatever. I can feel that it's through and through filled up with love. That's why I call it love. But it has many other qualities also. And if somebody is more comfortable with calling it emptiness or nothingness or the infinite, totally fine. But that people who have realized that, I don't know if you can see, like their actions are naturally good, naturally helpful, naturally generous, naturally supportive, and they don't seem to need anything back by nourished from there and from what flows back to them by giving. And it's the invitation to discover that. By opening to that. Letting yourself be sucked in. And if you don't know how, just relax. And if you feel the toolbox I gave last time, you can take something, try a little bit, with the hammer, with the screwdriver. From inside you will know, okay, now I can't lie down anymore and just hang around, I need something else. So the combination of inquiry and being calm, very, very helpful. So the beautiful thing is that love simply is. And how does it feel if you let yourself go in that love? Even if you don't know what that means or what it is, just simply having this intention. Okay, I'm open to receive. I can tell you something I have discovered only since I'm teaching is there is so much love flowing from the teachers to you. You cannot imagine. Yeah, you have signed in a paper, put it all your stuff down. I don't know, I always thought I am just a number of 30, 40, 50, 60 other people. The teachers don't see me. I come and then I disappear. And to some teachers I have a connection, to some I don't. And that's totally fine, but I just want to know you, I want you to know, like how much love there is flowing to all of you from us three, even if you don't notice. How much care How much seeing everybody, feeling what everybody needs, what could be helpful. Checking with each other, among us. Ah, have you seen the face of that person? She looks really not good. What can we do to support? Have you spoken with her? Do you know what's going on? What would she need? Or what would he need? And I'm saying this just that you know this love is already there for you to be received. You don't need to do anything for it. Just a simple knowing. And only now in this teacher position, I start to feel the gratitude towards my teacher of what they have been provided, because I wasn't able to see it. And just to know how much you are loved in the way how you are here can be very, very helpful. And you don't need to give anything back for it. It's an invitation to receive. And you are worth it. Very, very much. Does somebody have something to sneeze? Some tempo?
You spoke about love and service, but what about attachment?
About bhakti? So with bhakti you mean the path of devotion. So like what comes to me as bhakti is connected to surrender. So devotion and surrender go together. And the aim of the spiritual path is to realize what is called emptiness, or what is called love, or what is called the ultimate nature of all things, or the great perfection. And this is something that's already within us. So we can discover that by just going inside. And sometimes somebody can be somebody who is connected to that, or who knows what is that, or who lives totally from there, can be a bridge. So it's very difficult to surrender us to something that we don't know what it is, that we have totally forgotten. So we surrender our life and our actions to somebody who is surrendered to that, who is in devotion to that, who is, I don't know if it would be right to say, in bhakti to that. Bhakti is a word I don't use very much. And what is happening is, because I devote my life to that person, and that person is devoted to that without any ego concepts, mind thing in between, automatically it takes over my life. And from acting according to what I feel is for that person, my actions automatically become purifying and more according to how would I move when I would myself be totally connected and live from that place. And at one point, the curtain, which is seemingly kind of disconnecting us from living from there, the curtain of the mind, which is built up by concepts, issues, conditioning, becomes so thin that at one point we get glimpses of that ourselves. It gets holes. And at one point it simply just collapses. And then you're free to go, or you're free to go on living with your master, devoted to that, depending on what life wants from you. And it does not even need to be a master, it could also be Arunachala, for example. For Ramana it was Arunachala. Or it could be Shiva as an image. But for most human beings it's more easy to connect to a human being instead of to a Shiva Lingam from stone. especially for us Westerners. But there is a saint called Kanapa who devoted himself totally to the Shiva Lingam and became liberated. But that's just a story. Don't want to go further into it. I could tell you now the story of Kanapa. So what means bhakti for you? Can you speak a little louder because it's so good, yeah, for everybody to hear?
The fact is, for me, a doorway to open up to that love exists. Exists anyway. Although I'm not sure about that. I think there is a practice we can put fuel on fire of this love. And the fact is the love for another human being.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And Amma said, bhakti is the greatest art for us all at this time.
Yeah.
On the planet. And of course, we may or may not agree with that, but that's what she says. And, I bhakti is dangerous as well, but it's for another human.
So where you see the danger? You say like, where do you see the danger in that path?
The danger is we can have, if we are acting for another human being, particularly in a situation, then... The
can you speak a little louder so everybody can hear? Because because Ian has a lot of experience on the path, so I'm very happy about his sharing. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Huh? Yeah, you can say this talk is about bhakti, yeah? About devotion, about surrender. Surrendering us, our ideas, our how we think life has to be, our what we want, from a very hard place what we want, to what we want from the heart. And what we want in the heart is to share and experience love. And I say that so easy because I have experienced that, but it's also something that you have to find out for yourself, if that's true. But everybody loves to love. Is there somebody who doesn't love to love? Or somebody who doesn't love it to be loved?
I also see death really in love. Like, I don't know if I can say it clearly, but like, yeah, every love bears a death, basically. It's like, when you drop into like the big love, it basically means you surrender, so you're not there anymore.
Mm.
So it's that death, but it's also like, you know, everything goes, you know, everything in life goes. It's like, whatever object you love, it goes. Yeah, there's a bit what Ian said, like, it's like that surrendering. It's like a surrendering to, not to, oh, I love to love, but it's like, it's much deeper. It's like, oh my God, like, I'm loving no matter what. Like, I'm, you know, it's so bare naked. It's so, yeah, it's just so bare naked. It's like, it's holding on to nothing, basically,
yeah.
When you love.
Yeah.
It's like, it's dropping everything.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to be taken, and it's saying yes to that.
Yes.
To saying yes to everything going. And I think that somehow that pain and that love are very connected. And I think that is is also the realization of that. And then dropping even in a bigger love that holds that, and that is unchanging. But it's really helpful.
And it's not that there is nothing there. You let everything go, and what you're gonna find there is just that bigger love that holds the losing, that holds the pain. And in that, the pain starts to dissolve. And interestingly, the pain turns into more love. But that's something that needs to be experienced by the willingness to go there. It doesn't help if I just say it here. It's just an invitation to open. And because you let go of something, it doesn't mean that you are losing it. You're just losing the holding on to it. And life will come and take things from you so that you can learn that letting go. That letting go of somebody else whom you love. Letting go maybe of even your own life. But it doesn't need to be so dramatic. But life will show us where we are still holding on and invite us to let go by the pain that's gonna come. And then the invitation is what you just said, to drop it into that bigger love, to even drop all the fear of dropping in that bigger love. It holds everything. So the invitation is to love that love, or to live for that love, or to surrender to somebody who lives for that love, or something else that's representing for you that what we are talking about, what I try to point out, which can be known deeply, realized and experienced in the form of knowing it. Hope that's not too abstract what I say. And Ramana devoted himself to Arunachala. Even so, he gave everybody this inquiry, or not everybody, but he gave this inquiry of who am I? He himself was on the bhakti path. But that's just a side thing because we are here at Arunachala. By dropping into that love, the realization of what that love really is comes. The insight and the knowing. And by now I just want to invite you to just suck up more of that love that's provided here as care for you on retreat. And to be open for it. Very simple. Sleeping in that space that opens after the chant, for example. I always felt some of it from just watching the sunset. And it opened a door for me to let it grow wider, bigger, taking me fully. That's the invitation. Maybe we just give us 2-3 minutes in silence, enjoying sunset.